It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Monday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert. It is July 17 of 2023. And folks, 47 days until week one of the college football season kicks off. And that's the traditional Saturday. I'm not counting week zero. I'm not counting week one Thursday night games. So I have to imagine there's a week zero Saturday game, or games, I should say. So in 40 days until college football, 40 days. And for those of you out there going, Cole, there's summer left. Yes, there is. But I refuse at this point to apologize for saying 40 days, 40 freaking days until college football kicks off. How cool is that? 47 days until the Iowa State Cyclones will play host to the UNI Panthers. And, of course, we'll have that game and all the Iowa State football games on your official station for Cyclone Nation, 1650 The Fan. I guess, technically speaking, occasionally the Cyclones pop over to our companion station, Cruising KCFI, but we're looking forward to another Iowa State Cyclone football season. I'm looking forward to all of it. Iowa State, UNI, Iowa. I can't wait to see how this season plays out. And I think there are a number of genuine reasons that come with each of those programs headed into this 2023 season to be excited. But here's the thing. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. The high school state baseball and softball tournaments both began earlier today in Carroll, Iowa City, and Fort Dodge, respectively. Of course, the state baseball tournament, the first two locales, the state softball tournament, once again, back in Fort Dodge. And we got a couple teams, Clarksville on the softball side, Cedar Falls on the baseball side. And we'll bring you some information on that Tiger Class 4A state quarterfinal coming up here in just a few short moments during area sports news and scores. But first things first, hope you're having an outstanding Monday. Hope your weekend was excellent. And thanks so much for being here, whether you're tuned in on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Give the Facebook page a like. Just type in 1650TheFan. You'll find us. Hammer that like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. Bookmark that website, not just for the stream. You get all sorts of local, statewide, and national sports content there. Podcasts, audio on demand, our broadcast calendar. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. Bookmark it, 1650TheFan.com. All right, if you want to weigh in today with any questions or comments for the program, save the number in your phone, at least one of them, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479, or you can email the show. Perhaps you'd rather do that than call. By all means, fire away. Just know I might read your email on the program. Questions, comments, maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show, by all means, send me an email, address cole@1650thefan.com. As I mentioned, we'll get to area sports news and scores to lead it off here in just a few short moments. Plenty to get to in the stack like usual. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update. So if you want to bet a shekel or two on Cubs Nationals tonight, which you'll hear right here on The Fan, Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, we'll get you set for that, among other things. 6:30 tonight, the pregame of Cubs Nationals here on The Fan. First pitch from Wrigley Field at 7:05, and the Cubs just have to start winning. I think it's 14 games now that's left between right now in the trade deadline at the end of the month. And the Cubs are something like seven back and six or seven under 500. I think it's seven. They got to start winning and quick. And it looks like the Reds are going to come back down to earth a little bit. The Brewers are a good but heavily flawed team. The National League Central just certainly seems to be remaining right there up for grabs. And this Cubs team that pretty much spent all the way up to the first apron of the luxury tax, I think it's in excess of $190 million on payroll, just has not been able to put together enough good stretches of baseball, whether it be ineffectiveness, injury, or some combination of both. And you'd like to think that $190 million would go a little further these days, but hey, that's the economy that we find ourselves in. So we'll talk more about it coming up in the next segment of today's show. Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register, outstanding sports writer. He's also the Register's Iowa Cubs beat writer. He's plugged in at all levels of the Cubs organization. He's plugged in all throughout baseball, major and minor leagues. Tommy knows and talks to all sorts of folks. So we'll talk with him not only about the Cubs going up to the Major League Baseball trade deadline, but for my non-Cubs people out there, we'll talk to Tommy about a pair of native Iowans that were selected recently in the Major League Baseball amateur draft. We'll ask him what he knows about the possibility for anybody out there who's been enjoying the pace of play with the pitch clock in Major League and Minor League Baseball, for that matter, this season. Is there any fire to the smoke out there that perhaps there's going to be that the pitch clock will go away in the postseason, or that it might stay but be expanded in the postseason? That's been out there for a while now, and a lot of smoke, but that's pretty much it. All speculation. So we'll see what Tommy has heard on that front as well. And then, I mean, we do this from time to time on the show, and I like to pick my spots, and that is, when do we engage? When is it worth it to engage on this show in the precious hour we have 5 days a week on the national trending sports topics? And one of them that has been, I think you could say it's trending. I don't know exactly what the definition is to meet that requirement, but is whether the Los Angeles Angels should trade their uber superstar, Shohei Ohtani. He's on the last year of his deal under team control through arbitration, and the Angels options are: you hold on to him and try to renegotiate or negotiate a contract extension in the offseason. You hold on to him. You try to negotiate that contract extension. It doesn't work. And what you would get by nature of the collective bargaining agreement is what's called a sandwich pick, a compensation draft pick in next year's early July amateur draft that'll fall between the end of the first round and the beginning of the second round, or you trade him for what should be a king's ransom and then some of prospects and near Major League Baseball ready talent, perhaps even some major league talent, and restock your entire organization and move on that way. But who wants to be the general manager that quote unquote traded Shohei Ohtani, a guy who I think is playing baseball at the major league level better than anybody's ever done it. Well, what about Babe Ruth? Yeah, what about Babe Ruth? He pitched for like a season and a half, two seasons, and he didn't play against black players. So Shohei Ohtani, in terms of what he's doing, albeit longevity, not there yet, but, you know, he's only, it's not his fault how old he is. So a number of things to get into when Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register joins us in the next segment of today's show. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Tommy Birch. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. We'll come back on the other side of that timeout, and we'll hear audio from Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark, Big 12 football coaches Steve Sarkisian of Texas and Mike Gundy of Oklahoma State on the conference's changes, as well as Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell. Given the way things kind of played out for us last week, we talked to Rob Gray, my colleague from the Gazette, when Big 12 Media Days began, and some other things came up the way that the week laid out, and now want to circle back and listen to that audio, react to it. If you have any reaction, of course, call the show or send me an email. That's what we'll do in segment three today. After we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up what is a Monday edition of Cole & Company. All right, let's dive in here. Three members of the Waterloo East baseball team have earned Iowa Alliance All-Conference honors. Trojans pitcher Justin Thomas named the first team. He was 7-2 on the bump this season with a 1.12 earned run average. He also batted .310 with 23 RBI. Two East players were selected to the second team, Damaris Henderson and Maddox Harn. Henderson hit .344 with 13 RBI, while Harn hit .312 with 20 RBI. And as I mentioned, the state baseball tournament began today. Again, this season, Class 1A and 2A played at Merchants Park in Carroll, while 3A and 4A games at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. Today's quarterfinal games taking place in Classes 1A and 3A. So that means the Cedar Falls High School baseball team is getting in its final preparations for a Class 4A state baseball tournament quarterfinal game tomorrow night against Southeast Polk. Tigers are the sixth seed, taking on the third-seeded Rams. That game is the first pitch of 5 o'clock tomorrow night. You can listen to it on our companion station, Cruising KCFI, 1250 AM, 105.1 FM throughout the Cedar Valley. Tell your smart speaker to play Cruising KCFI or download the Cruising KCFI app. Mark Simpson will have the call of that game, and pregame coverage will begin at 4:45. Cedar Falls enters the tournament just scorching hot, having won 12 of its last 13 and 14 of its last 16. Tigers are 27-14 overall. The Rams are 28-14 overall. The state softball tournament also began today in Fort Dodge. It goes through Friday. Quarterfinal games in Class 5A and 4A and one 3A game are on the schedule. Just one area school competing at state this year, Clarksville, who goes against Southeast Warren tomorrow night at 7:30 in a Class 1A quarterfinal. Lacrosse outscored the Waterloo Bucks 12-11 yesterday. The game featured the two top teams in the Great Plains East Division. Lacrosse now leads that division at 11-1, while the Bucks are a game back. They're 11-3, and they're off today. Bucks resume play tomorrow night when it plays host to Eau Claire. Three members of the UNI football team have been selected to a list of potential players for the East-West Shrine Bowl. The Panthers include quarterback Theo Day, offensive tackle Jared Penning, and defensive tackle Christian Boyd. The trio of Panthers are on a list of scouted players from around the country that are both All-Star Game and NFL Draft eligible in 2024. It will be the 99th edition of the East-West Shrine Bowl, played in Frisco, Texas on February 1st. And speaking of the UNI Panthers, in case you missed it, in case you've been living under a rock, we announced on Friday, along with UNI Athletics, us being Koloff Media, that UNI Athletics and Koloff Media have agreed to a multi-year broadcast partnership with Panther Sports Properties. Beginning this fall, fans will be able to hear Panther football and men's basketball on our companion station, 93.5 The Mix. In addition, all women's basketball, or 15 women's basketball and volleyball games, will be heard on 106.5 FM Corn Country, which can also be heard at 93.5 HD2. J.W. Cox and Scott Peterson return once again this fall to provide the call of UNI football on the mix. Chris Kleinhans Schultz returns to do the play-by-play of UNI volleyball and women's basketball on Iowa Corn Country. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of your Monday. Looking into tomorrow and Wednesday, we'll come back on the other side. We got a lot to talk to our guy, Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register, about. A lot of baseball talk with Tommy coming up next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Byer.
No deals done today for Giants running back Saquon Barkley. Also, no deal for Raiders running back Josh Jacobs. Neither got a long-term extension from their teams, and neither has yet to sign their franchise tag. So if they don't show up for training camp, they will not be fined by the team. Now, Tony Pollard of the Cowboys did sign his franchise tender in March. He did not come to terms on a long-term agreement with the team, so he will play the 2023 season under the franchise tag, which comes to a cost of $10.1 million from the Cowboys to the running back. The Lions today signed one of their first-round picks. Running back Jahmyr Gibbs now gets his rookie deal. Tickets for the first four training camp practices for the Jets sold out in 3 minutes today, according to ESPN. The debut of the team on Hard Knocks will take place on Tuesday, August 8th on HBO. Eight former Northwestern players are filing a civil lawsuit against the school for the alleged hazing tactics within the school's football program. Martin Truex Jr. won today's rain-delayed Cup Series race in New Hampshire.
Don't miss the stat of the day. Listen to the Dan Patrick Show, weekdays from 8 to 11 right here on 1650 The Fan.
First Bank was founded by local businessmen in 1864. Today we remain locally owned by shareholders who are your neighbors, friends, and First Bank employees. I'm Susan Whitson with First Bank. Our investments are in our communities, for small businesses to generational farmers. We support our local schools, organizations, and nonprofits. We invite you to be part of First Bank. Our experienced local bankers are ready to assist you as your needs grow and change. Visit firstiowa.bank to learn more and to see how we can serve you first. Member FDIC.
Every time we buy something, we have decisions to make. How much are we going to spend? What kind of quality are we looking for? And where are we going to buy it? The decision to buy from a locally owned company doesn't have to come at a cost, especially at Direct Appliance in Cedar Falls. At Direct Appliance, you'll be able to find the best deals on top-rated appliances made by companies like GE. GE appliances are built in the good old USA and are ranked by Consumer Reports as one of the most reliable brands available, from the GE to the GE Profile lines. You can choose from a wide range of value and features that will fit any budget. At Direct Appliance, we know appliances. That's because it's all we do. And when you buy from Direct Appliance, you're not only supporting local business, you get the unparalleled hometown service that only seasoned appliance professionals can deliver. Choose local. Choose service. Choose GE and Direct Appliance. For inventory, promotions, rebates, and specials, click on over to directappliancetv.com. Direct Appliance, 5424 University Avenue in Cedar Falls.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Cubs and Nationals at Wrigley Field today. Drew Smyly on the mound for Chicago. 7-6, a 4.31 ERA. Cubs $1.38 home favorite. Mackenzie Gore for the Nationals, 4-7, 4.42 ERA. Nationals, the +128 underdog. The Nationals have dropped two straight and 7-10. Cardinals, -113 at home at Miami, +103. Miles Michaelis for the Cardinals against Jesus Luzardo of Miami, 8.5 under the total. Rory McIlroy won the Scottish Open. He's +650 to win this week's Open Championship at Royal Liverpool. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 54. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 77. A blend of clouds and sun. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 58. Low 80s Wednesday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Upper 70s Thursday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 75.
You're listening to the Cedar Valley sports leader, 1650 The Fan. And you're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert, weekdays 5 to 6.
Yeah, welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues. Cubs baseball coming up tonight here on The Fan. Game one of a three-game set from Wrigley Field. Cubs got to get some wins, and they've got some winnable teams on the schedule ahead of the trade deadline, and it starts with that three-game set against the Washington Nationals from the friendly confines tonight. Pre-game at 6:30, first pitch at 7:05. We'll talk some Cubs baseball. We're just going to talk a lot of baseball in general with Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register, who joins us now. Tommy, thanks so much for being here today. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm sitting at the dinner table watching my son scarf down on some chicken nuggets right now. He is living life, man. I wish you could see the pure happiness. I'm not sure a four-year-old could be any happier than having a plate full of chicken nuggets and some grapes.
Well, I really don't care what people think in me saying this, but there's still plenty of times in my life at 33 where I'm living the dream when I got a plate full of chicken nuggets in front of me, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. Like, I'm jealous. Now, I've decided what I'm going to have for dinner, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly, just the rest of the bag. Put them in the oven.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of hoping he wouldn't polish off this plate, but he went to town. He just finished up the last one as we were talking, and he's just looking at me like, do not even think about it, old man.
We'll have to see how this one plays out. Put a bookmark in this one for the next time that you join the show. But let's dive into the baseball talk, man. Couple of native Iowans selected in the Major League Baseball draft, and that's become a common thing, and understandably so. A lot of great talent in the state. Dubuque's Calvin Harris, and formerly of Urbandale, a lot of people got to know him. Iowa Hawkeye Ty Langenberg. Those were the two selected in that Major League Baseball amateur draft. How about you start with Dubuque's Calvin Harris, Tommy, who I think perhaps less people know about. What can you tell us about this young phenom?
Yeah, I mean, he's a power-hitting catcher. He's a left-handed hitting catcher who, like I said, has power. He has a ton of power. He was one of the best hitters in Ole Miss lineup. He guided them to a national championship last year, hit four home runs in the SEC game this year. So, you know, anytime you can get a left-handed hitting catcher with power, that's going to appeal to a lot of different teams. So the Chicago White Sox took him in the fourth round, and they really liked the bat. And what's not to like about a bat that has really consistently hit during 3 years in the SEC? That's not an easy thing to do, but he more than held his own during those 3 years.
Tommy, as much as I follow baseball and minor league baseball, typically if you get a catcher that's a good hitter, if he's a good enough hitter, it's almost like teams want to move him away from behind the plate and save the knees. So what can you say in terms of the defensive profile for Dubuque, former Dubuque standout Calvin Harris, and how that might project throughout his minor league and hopefully ultimately a major league career?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's something that's kind of been talked about too throughout the college process, where he didn't throw out a ton of runners. But if you watch Ole Miss pretty closely, you know, they were not good about holding runners and just really put him in a tough spot. But the good thing for a guy like Calvin Harris is he's played a ton of outfield. He's DH'd a ton. So he has that experience too, if that's something that they want to do down the road. But it sounds like right now they like him behind the plate because he can call a good game. He can throw out runners when he's put in a good position. And he's a guy that underwent Tommy John surgery before his freshman year. So I think the thought is that, like, okay, some more time, some more reps, he could be a really good catcher.
How about Iowa's Ty Langenberg? Obviously prepped at Urbandale, like I mentioned before. Anybody who followed that outstanding run that Rick Heller's Hawkeye baseball team had earlier this year got to know Ty Langenberg. I think, Tommy, my biggest question is not about the stuff, but more so, what's the timeline look like for a guy like this who was a, you know, a polished Big Ten pitcher who pitched a lot of big innings?
Yeah, the key is how much they're going to want to pitch him this year, because you see it so many times where a guy's logged a ton of innings during his draft year. Either a team will, you know, only let him throw a little bit during this year, or they'll just completely shut him down. My guess is he'll probably get some experience. He'll probably spend most of this year in Arizona, or I guess their extended spring training complex in Fort Myers. So he'll probably spend a lot of time in Fort Myers. But I think kind of an interesting thing is, realistically, we could see him in Cedar Rapids playing for the Colonels, you know, maybe by the end of the year. My guess is probably sometime next year, which would be really cool given that he's an Urbandale kid. He is a Hawkeyes pitcher. The Twins seem to really like the arm and seem to think he could move pretty quick, too.
Tommy Birch, Des Moines Register, our guest right now on this Monday edition of Cole & Company. Follow Tommy on Twitter, at Tommy Birch. Tommy, speaking of this Major League Baseball draft, I know they're trying to make it more of a event, more of a television event. I didn't watch it. I followed along on social media. I can't necessarily remember what the hell else was going on at that time, but what do you make of this as Major League Baseball just continues to change and evolve, that at least on opening night, it seems like that they've made a little bit of headway with making this or putting some more eyeballs on it?
Sure. I mean, it helped that they had two really premier college players that I think a lot of people knew from the College World Series, and Dylan Cruz and Paul Skeens, you know, both guys who were taken one and two during the draft, who are looked as high-impact arm, high-impact bat, guys that could fly through the minor league system right away. I think realistically it's always going to be an event that, like, is always kind of put on the back burner just because of how the whole major league system works and kind of rising through the minor league system. Look, when you follow the NBA draft, you follow the NFL draft, part of the appeal of the event is that you're fixing glaring holes and fixing those holes with additions of guys that can have immediate impacts or have impacts in a year or two. Realistically, when it comes to the major league draft, yeah, every now and then you'll see a guy that can get to the big leagues in a year, or in the rare instances, guys will get up during that year, as we saw with, I think it was Brandon Finnegan with the Kansas City Royals. So every now and then you'll get that rare situation, but realistically, what makes it such a tough draw is that you aren't going to hear about these guys for three, maybe four, at the best side, 2 years. So until that changes, it's just not going to be a big event for fans to tune into.
Tommy, maybe you can fact check me on this, but I think I can name two more dudes who went up and played in the big leagues after being drafted in what would have been June back in the day, not that far back in the day, but former Tampa Bay Ray, David Price, I want to say, came up and pitched out of their bullpen in the playoffs his rookie season.
Sounds right to me, yeah.
And I think the Reds called up, was it Mike Leake, pretty much immediately?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it happens every now and then, but it's all about supply and demand and how talented that player is, too. You see it every now and then, but, you know, it's like you said, you know, it's hard to come up with names of guys that have had that type of impact that quickly.
Yeah.
Which is why the draft is just, I don't want to say hard to watch, but hard to get super excited about, knowing that, like, look, these are investments. These are not immediately guys that are going to have immediate impact type players.
And just proof by the fact that, I mean, I need to get a life. I'm a baseball nerd. That's really the only reason I could come up with those two names. Speaking of Major League Baseball's seeming evolution here, Tommy, so many of us have loved the pitch clock and what it's done for the game. You've seen it for multiple seasons now covering minor league baseball, but there is smoke out there, and a lot of that smoke was discussed during All-Star Week last week as to whether or not the pitch clock would go away for the postseason in Major League Baseball or perhaps be expanded. Before I share what my thoughts would be on that, what can you tell us, if anything, that you've heard regarding this? And what impression, if any, do you have on how this could play out?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I think I'd be shocked if I see any change going into at least this year's postseason. I don't know about down the line, but I think it's a lot to ask you know, hitters and pitchers and umpires to work a certain way for a 162-game season. Then you change it up, you know, for the postseason, you know, during the most important games. And I think when it comes to the impact that the pitch clock has, I think it's probably most valuable during the postseason as well, where, you know, you see a lot of these games just drag and drag and drag. Now, yeah. I know you want the intensity, you want the meaningfulness of every pitch and the drama that unfolds. And I think Major League Baseball's biggest worry with having the pitch clock during the postseason is a big at-bat or a big pitch coming down to the pitch clock. I mean, that's not what you want to see happen. But, you know, I think when the postseason, when play really seems to slow down and when there are even more eyeballs on games because people are tuning in during the postseason, that might be when you realistically need it the most.
Yeah. Yeah, great point. Another massive topic in Major League Baseball right now, Tommy. And I like to pick and choose on this show, as I was saying in the open, on like what national topics we choose to engage in here. And this one is, should the Angels trade Shohei Ohtani? A guy that I've said on the show has played Major League Baseball at a level that I don't think any other player ever has. Sure, Babe Ruth, but Babe Ruth only pitched for like a season and a half along with hitting, and he didn't play against black players. So who's done what Shohei Ohtani is doing, has done for a handful of seasons now? He's going to be a free agent. If they can't, you know, if they don't trade him and they don't re-sign him, they get a compensation pick is what they get. So should they trade Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah, I mean, if you realistically think there's no chance that he's going to re-sign with you, or you think, like, okay, there's just a small percentage chance, which, you know, my assumption would be that he is going to jump for an opportunity to play for a championship, compete for a championship, because that has not happened during his time and with Angels and may never happen if he sticks around. I think watching what happened with Mike Trout's career probably is a little bit sobering, and what he experienced in terms of winning a championship with the World Baseball Classic probably feeds that hunger a little bit more. I think you got to trade him. You know, you can't let the best baseball player on the planet, possibly the most unique baseball player to ever play the game, just walk away and get nothing for him. I constantly think about the haul that you could get. I mean, you could massively replenish your minor league system. You could put yourself and your organization in a really good spot to contend quickly. So I think you got to you got to deal Shohei Ohtani and just put away the arrogance, put away the temptation to try to keep him, because there is no way the Angels are going to be able to compete with all those heavy hitters that have the money that they have, but also have the track record and the movement to win right away.
I agree. I could not agree more, especially the way that you described it and characterized it. And I think if you trade Shohei Ohtani right at this deadline and you get this massive influx of talent, I think that you then, if you're being a shrewd general manager, then you trade Mike Trout in the offseason, right? Isn't that what you would have, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you can, yeah. You know, look, you've tried this for a while now. You've had a long time to try to win with Mike Trout. You've tried to win with Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani. I think in the grand scheme of things, the bigger issue with the Angels is what their front office is doing and who is running the front office. Like, they've spent the money. They have tried.
Yep.
You got to give them credit for being willing to go out there and do everything that they can to win. But outside of keeping Mike Trout and outside of being willing to allow Shohei Ohtani to play both ways, which, let's go back to when Shohei was a free agent, not every team was sold on the idea that we're going to let this guy bat. We're going to let this guy pitch too. there were teams that were saying, look, we either want him as a pitcher, we either want him as an outfielder. Now everybody wants him to do both because he has shown that he can do both. But outside of them signing Mike, you know, keeping Mike Trout and giving Shohei the opportunity to do that, every move that they have seemingly made has been a massive swing and a miss.
When it comes to a Shohei extension, the numbers are going to be unlike anything the game has ever seen, unlike anything professional sports has ever seen. Tommy, I just did some quick math. $650 million over 12 years, for example, that's just shy of $55 million a year. The best pitchers are making about $40 million a year. The best hitters are making about $35, $38 million a year. If he gets hurt, then you lose two guys. I think, you basically lose two guys in one. I think that's the only thing that limits his value a little bit in terms of just adding a top hitter and a top pitcher's salary on top of each other and saying, we spread that out over 10 years, here you go. Where do you think we're talking neighborhood-wise in terms of the money he could make?
Astronomical. The highest paid baseball player of all time, because his value, as we've seen, when it comes to the Angels, it isn't just about what he does on the mound, what he does at the plate, but just the attention that he brings to the Angels. People have been watching the Angels the last couple of years, and they're one of the worst teams in all baseball. But the amount of tickets they're selling, the amount of merchandising they're selling, the TV revenue that they are getting, is just, they are just printing money there. And whatever market he goes to, whatever team
right.
he ends up signing with, is going to get back all of that money
yep.
with what they do in the same way with how they can sell Shohei Ohtani. And, look, free agency has some horrific stories when it comes to guys signing 10-year contracts.
Yeah.
And then year one, year two, or year three, it just already ends up being a horrible deal, and you're rolling the dice big time when it comes to a unique player like Shohei, who already has a lot of massive red flags, where you look at his first couple of years, how it did not go anything according to plan, what they had hoped. And I think a lot of people tend to forget that, like this journey
yeah.
to what he has become did not happen overnight. So there are certainly some red flags when it comes to the amount of years, the amount of money, and just the overall investment you're going to put into signing him. But if he can be half the player he has been moving forward, it's not going to be a problem for any team to shell out the money.
Even if just later in his career he pitched out of the bullpen here and there and was a great DH. He's still going to
And realistically, that's something that could happen when you're talking about a 10-year contract
yeah.
and you're getting to year 9 or 10. So I don't think any team is going to realistically have a tough time recouping whatever they get out of a contract for
yeah.
Shohei. But obviously, the biggest key is staying healthy, and that is a massive question to ask moving forward.
Well, if you see Tom Ricketts or Jed, let them know that they'll get their money back on that deal, okay, Tommy?
I will, yeah, of course. I'll tell them.
Tell them I'm right there with you.
See, I'm thinking, Cole, what I'm thinking about is Shohei Ohtani signing with the Cubs, getting hurt, and having a rehab assignment in Principal Park.
Oh,
I'm thinking about myself here.
Well, and your employer, I think the Des Moines Register might break its record for clicks if that happened.
Yeah, our website might go down.
Tommy, oh man, you've been too kind with your time. We got caught up there talking about Shohei. I think I need to towel off now. Great stuff, man. Have a good rest of your night.
Thanks for having me.
Tommy Burch, Des Moines Register sports writer, kind enough to join us on this Monday edition of Cole and Company. I can't even remember what day it is now. We've been talking about Shohei Ohtani. Make sure you follow Tommy on Twitter at Tommy Burch. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during the break. We come back on the other side. We'll go from the bald diamond to the gridiron, and we'll hear audio from Big 12 Conference Commissioner Brett Yormark, football coaches Steve Sarkisian and Mike Gundy of Texas and Oklahoma State, as well as Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell. That's all next right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim at the state softball tournament in Fort Dodge. Action here at Rogers Park began in Class 5A. Top-ranked Ankeny Centennial scored three runs in the bottom of the fifth to pull away in a 7-1 victory over Bettendorf. Maddie Ott had two hits for the Jaguars, and her RBI single in the third gave Centennial a 2-1 lead.
I was just telling myself to relax, play my game, make sure I'm looking for my pitch in the box, don't do too much, you know.
Centennial improves to 34-5. Tonight here in Fort Dodge, top-ranked Williamsburg opens the 3A quarterfinals against Albia. In Carroll, it's the 1A state baseball quarterfinals in the opener. Second-ranked Kingsley Pearson scored five runs in the first in a 6-1 victory over South Winneshiek. At Banks Field in Iowa City, it's the opening round of 3A state baseball. In the first game, second-ranked North Polk beat Spencer 3-1. This is Radio Iowa.
What amazing feat can you accomplish in 2 seconds? You can shoot the winning shot of the championship game. You can rocket 110 feet into the sky in the world's fastest elevator. You can even perfect your yodel.
Yodel-ay-hoo.
But maybe the most monumental feat you can accomplish in 2 seconds is saving a life, your life, just by buckling your seatbelt. Click it or ticket. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Fresh Conversations is a free monthly education program that supports healthy aging for Iowans over 60. I learn about nutrition and health topics, taste low-cost healthy recipes, and discover new physical activities. Meetings are a great way for me to socialize and learn how to live a healthier lifestyle so I remain independent. Visit hhs.iowa.gov and search for Fresh Conversations to learn more. Funding is provided by the USDA's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. This institution is an equal opportunity provider. A message from Iowa HHS.
My name is Heather Marquez, and I am with Action Coach Mike Links. I had been focusing my business originally on leadership development, and after about 4 years, what I realized was there was something missing. And having a 25-year background in operations, I wasn't using any of that knowledge. When I found Action Coach, it really gave me the tools and resources to incorporate all of that and make the wheel I already had grow and be able to move faster. The important thing when I'm talking about Action Coach Mind Links to take into consideration is it's not where I'm coming in and I tell any business owner how to do their job. It's really about helping business owners become more educated, remind them of the things they already know, and then help them get clear so that they can take the actions that are going to help them get to the ultimate goals that they have. Visit my website at heathermarquez.actioncoach.com. A coach is about helping you get clear on what you should do based on your goals.
We don't realize how much our breathing affects our everyday lives until this, or this, or this. Our team at Cedar Valley Center for ENT Sinus and Allergy is here to make breathing a breeze. We will treat your allergies, sleep apnea, and sinusitis using innovative procedures and technology. Talk to Dr. David Congdon and Dr. Kenny Rodriguez and put your breathing problems in the past. Call 319-888-8044 for a consultation today. Don't let breathing problems disrupt your everyday life. Breathe easy with Cedar Valley Center for ENT Sinus and Allergy.
This could be the start of a break-in.
Stop. This is Simply Safe.
Or the end of one. Introducing 24/7 LiveGuard protection, only from Simply Safe. Now, monitoring agents can see and speak to intruders through our new indoor camera to help stop crime in real time and for fast police response. Get 20% off any new system with Fast Protect monitoring at simplysafe.com/radio. Advanced home security, 24/7 professional monitoring for less than a dollar a day. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Of course I use Mr. Clean Magic Eraser to clean tough messes off my stovetop and bathtub. But then I discovered I can also use it to easily clean my patio furniture and even my shoes. I'm hooked!
And when wipes won't cut it, I use Magic Eraser sheets. They're thin and flexible erasers perfect for everyday messes, like gunk on my counters and sinks. They really are magical.
The reviews are in. Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and sheets make cleaning look easy.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues. Big 12 Media Days last week. We have my colleague Rob Gray of the Gazette on to talk about it. You can find it in the podcast section of 1650thefan.com. But I want to bring you some audio from those that were there and behind the microphone, including Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark, who says the future of the conference is bright. Go figure. The league enters a transition year with which features new members, if I can spit it out here, Central Florida, Cincinnati, BYU, and Houston, and the final year before Texas and Oklahoma leave for the SEC. Here is Commissioner Yormark.
We plan to use this season to celebrate the incredible strength we have going forward with our 8 continuing members, our 4 incoming members, and also to celebrate the impact that Texas and Oklahoma have had on this conference since day one.
Yormark said a year ago at Big 12 Media Days that the conference was, quote, open for business.
Since then, we've jumped ahead of the line and extended TV agreements with existing partners through 2031, creating tremendous stability and clarity for this conference. We accelerated Texas and OU withdrawal, which was a win-win for all parties.
If you recall, TCU made the run to the national championship game a season ago in college football, and Yormark feels that's indicative of the Big 12 being poised for even more success.
We were the only conference last season to send 80% of its teams to bowl games. I believe we are once again the deepest conference in America.
All right, I want to make sure we get to the audio from Iowa State head football coach Matt Campbell. He was not able to provide specifics when asked. It was the first question asked when he hit the podium last week at Big 12 Media Days about the status of starting quarterback Hunter Deckers, given the gambling investigation that's ongoing. The school announced in May that more than a dozen Cyclone student-athletes were being investigative for online sports wagering.
That investigation is ongoing and, you know, just continues to, you know, not really have a lot of clarity to it. But I think we're getting closer to getting clarity. And, you know, the appreciation that I have is they've kind of given me the opportunity to be removed from that process and just give me the results once the results come our way.
And here's a little bit more from Campbell on this gambling investigation. It doesn't just include football players, but also wrestling members of the wrestling team and track and field.
You know, I think what I would just say for any of our young men that either are or aren't involved in this is it's a great learning lesson. You know, part of what I love about teaching is, you know, you're teaching 18 to 22 year old young men. And, you know, there's rules and regulations, and, you know, we'll kind of learn what happened in that situation here shortly.
On the football field, the Cyclones are looking to bounce back from a 4-8 season in 2022. Improvement begins with winning close games. You could say that again, says every Cyclone fan. Clones were 1-8 in the Big 12, and 6 of those losses were by a touchdown or less, Coach Campbell.
Our ability to have success at Iowa State is probably different than a lot of places. You know, we've got to go up the rough side of the mountain. You know, there's no easy fix, and we got to win as a team. We're not going to have just human erasers running all over the film. Our team has to play together to win football games.
And Coach Campbell says he likes the way his team has answered that challenge that he described.
You know, what I've probably been inspired of maybe is about any group that I've ever been around since I've been at Iowa State has been the rallying of our football team together to grow forward, to want to take the lessons we learned. And you can say, well, we were a really young football team a year ago. You know, we were the 3rd youngest team in college football, and sometimes we acted like it. Maybe sometimes we coached like it too. But the ability to learn and grow from what I saw a year ago and take the positive and the negative and move forward, that's really what it's going to take.
Getting back to Big 12 change with Oklahoma heading to the SEC with Texas, it will mean that the Sooners will play in-state rival Oklahoma State for the final time this season. The Bedlam series dates back to 1904. Here's Cowboys coach Mike Gundy.
The Bedlam game is over because Oklahoma chose to leave the Big 12, period. It's got nothing to do with Oklahoma State. So do I like that? No. Do I like that conferences have broken up in the past? No, I don't. But I also know that we have to control what we can control, which is Conference realignment is there. It's probably still going on. And wherever we all end up and whatever schedule they give us to play, we go play it.
Strong statement from Coach Mike Gundy of Oklahoma State, who added, not interested in playing Oklahoma in a non-conference game.
Oklahoma State's not going to change what you do because Oklahoma chose to go to the SEC. They need to change what they do because they're the ones that made their mind up to go to the SEC. So with all the talk from administration and people saying that Oklahoma State needs to do this and that, all Oklahoma had to do was not go to the SEC.
Always have liked Coach Mike Gundy, and those two clips certainly don't disappoint or change my impression or opinion of him whatsoever. So good stuff there. Hope you liked it. Let's take this final timeout. NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We come back on the other side. Wrap up a Monday edition of the show right after this.
I'm Brad Heller with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Free agent wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins is headed back to the AFC South. The Titans are giving Hopkins a two-year deal for $26 million, worth up to $32 million with incentives, according to NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport. Tight end Evan Ingram and the Jaguars agreed to terms on a three-year contract extension for $41.25 million, $24 million fully guaranteed, according to Rappaport and fellow NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill says he will break 2,000 receiving yards in 2023, telling the It Needed to Be Said podcast, quote, "You all think the cheetah gonna leave without doing something he promised himself he was going to do as a kid? 2,000 yards and another Super Bowl? We're getting that. Believe that." This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
First Maxfield Mutual Insurance provides protection for your home or farm you can afford, all backed by friendly hometown service. Their staff knows the area, and for over 150 years, Cedar Valley residents have counted on them for quality protection for farm mutual insurance. Contact First Maxfield Mutual, a Grinnell Mutual member, for all your insurance needs.
First Maxfield Mutual, our strength is your security.
This little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home. But if just one little piggy catches African swine fever, piggies everywhere will be in danger. African swine fever is highly contagious and fatal. It could wipe out America's pig population. That's why the USDA is urging pig producers, farmers, and veterinarians to know the signs of African swine fever. Learn more by searching Protect Our Pigs at USDA.gov.
If a baby is giggling in the back seat, they're probably happy. If a baby is crying in the back seat, they're probably hungry. But if a baby is sleeping in the back seat, will you remember they're even there? When you're distracted, stressed, or not usually the one who drives them, the chances of forgetting them in the back seat are much higher. It can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get in the habit of checking the back seat when you leave. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. In today's NFL, the running back position is starting to become a dying breed. There's still plenty of elite athletes, but due to the wear and tear of the position, NFL teams are losing that bell cow mentality in favor of committee approach. And that made extensions difficult for stars like Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs and Austin Eckler, three running backs who can do it all. But when you look at the Super Bowl champs over the last decade, it makes sense why teams may be more hesitant to commit to those players long term. Kansas City won the Super Bowl last year with a seventh round draft pick, Isaiah Pacheco. 2021, the Rams used second round pick Cam Akers. The year before that, Tampa Bay rode Leonard Fournette. The three running backs combined to make less than $6 million in base salary. Barkley, Jacobs, and Eckler are expecting close to three times that payday. And although it may be hard to see talented players walk, the results speak for themselves. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, that's also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. No, Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see the terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. When an intruder threatens your home, every second counts. That's why Simply Safe is launching 24/7 live guard protection. With a fast protect monitoring plan, if an intruder breaks into your home, Simply Safe monitoring agents can actually see it and speak to and deter them through the camera. It's a game changer in home security. And right now, get 20% off any Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Visit SimplySafeDan.com. That's SimplySafeDan.com. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back for a final time on this Monday. Got to thank Des Moines Register sports writer Tommy Birch once again for joining today's show. If you missed that or any of the program today, you can always listen on demand in podcast form at 1650thefan.com. It'll be up there in mere minutes. A little over a half hour from now, pregame coverage of Cubs Nationals begins here on The Fan. Drew Smyly on the bump tonight for the Cubs. Game one of a three-game set from Wrigley against the Nats. Enjoy that. We'll try to. Come on, Cubs. We need a win. That's a wrap for a Monday. I'm back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.